What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new to the table, welcome. We are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We are three DMs who create stories or sessions based on a randomized theme and scenario tables determined by 2D20s. It's a great way to get the creative juices flowing and training those DM muscles. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Sam, or DM Mambo, here serving as your transition captain for today's episode.
I am David. I'm going to be our theme host today.
I didn't know there was a theme to the introducing themes and scenarios. I'm Malcolm. I'm your third host. I'll be doing scenarios.
Friends, today we have a man who has taken the podcast community by storm with his great Bombarded podcast. Gosh, I love Bards. And when I heard about this one, actually through season one of Filling in the Gaps, I listened. He does our intro. Please give us a round of applause. 5-star review just for Kyle from the DM Maestro of Bombarded, Kyle.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me back, technically. I know this is my first time with y'all, but not my first time with Filling in the Gaps. So I'm excited to get to sit back in this captain's chair, because last time we did a C thing. So, captains, you know. But my name's Kyle. I'm the Dungeon Maestro for a podcast called Bombarded, where me and my bandmates, we bring instruments to the table. We roll dice to be able to determine what chords we use in our song and what drum beats we pull out of our machine. I do that. Our social media is at BombardedCast. My personal one is at Boognish_theory. If you need to know what a Boognish is, just search Ween. It's a great band. I highly recommend it. And one other thing that I've started up recently is I'm streaming with a good buddy of mine, Adam LaGrave, who you may know from DM's Treehouse. And we have a streaming channel over on Twitch, which is at Cartridge in a Pear Tree. So... you can check all that out. That's mostly where I am. That and work.
Such a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are great with those puns. I'm a little jealous. It's so cool.
It's okay. Take every shot. And you know what? If they're terrible, that's even better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
So for this question of the week, what are y'all's favorite race or species in whichever tabletop game you like to play? Let's start off with Kyle, our lovely guest.
Oh, it's hard to say. I always trend towards the half elf, just because I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to really work with backstory, depending on the setting that you're playing in as well. There's a lot of potential there as far as being able to create something unique, something interesting, which can dip into both either elven lore or just being a regular old human. The potential is good. So yeah, I'm going to go with half elf in this moment.
Okay.
I'm actually going to agree with Kyle there. I also really like half-elves. Another one I would pick is Warforged. I haven't gotten the chance to play one yet, but they sound really cool. And every time I think of them, I think of Full Metal Alchemist. So I'm just like, that sounds like a really cool RP opportunity to play as something that huge and fully metallic and have like a soul but no body. So I'm like, that's neat.
Yeah.
Speaking of Warforged, I think my favorite is actually from, I don't know if they brought it back for 5th edition, but in 3.5, they had in the same book for Eberron, the Changeling Race, which is basically a full-time shapeshifter. And they look pale and like translucent. They're like related to doppelgangers, but they're a player race. And I just always really like them because you can, they have like three different minds of thought. And they all have specific names that I don't remember, but it's like there are shape changers who want to be human. There are shape changers who want to be like one specific thing. And then there are shape changers who fully embrace that they can just be everything. That's like the different paths and like schools of psychology for them. And it's really cool. And I always like them.
Yeah. Totally a playable race in 5e, just to let you know.
Yeah, they are. They brought back. It's great.
They're somewhat fun. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, well, I have four cats, so I'm going to go with Tabaxi.
Solid choice.
I also name all my Tabaxis after wrestling moves. So, you know, you have the you have Atomic Leg Drop, the Shining Wizard. There's just you can pick a wrestling move, and it's just they're great. Right now, I have a player who plays Full Nelson, who talks like Macho Man Randy Savage.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and his brother is half Nelson, and it's the whole Nelson family, and it's beautiful. So I love Tabaxis. Especially Monk Bard Tabaxis are just what I've been playing a lot of lately.
That's a good call.
Oh no.
All right. On a separate note, I have another question. Malcolm and Kyle, shall we roll?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I wasn't sure how long to hold that one out for. I'm still, I don't know what episode number this will be, but it's just, you never know.
As everyone else rolls for today, what we're going to do is, as David and Malcolm said, they're going to roll 1d20 on their good old table, and Kyle gets to roll. Get this, everyone. 2 d20s, and he's going to determine out of our two choices what it's going to be. So we'll get those numbers out for you real quick.
Sweet action. So go ahead and go. Do I do the thing?
Yep.
Yeah, do the thing.
I did the thing, and I got a 13.
Roll those click-clacks.
Got a 13 and an 8.
There we go. I also got a 13.
I also got an 8.
Wow. So these two were meant to be.
So for themes, we have either a bazaar, which is brought to us by Molly, or from Malcolm, anime for our themes.
Yes!
And for
I know it's a bazaar, like a shopping area, but I want to hear bazaar as in like JoJo, and that JoJo. Just fits with anime, so you know. This is, but yes, both great.
And then for scenarios, we have either taking care of a mad druid's greenhouse, brought to us by Ren, or beating or tricking in an enemy adventuring party, brought to us by Seol.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
The choices are yours and yours alone.
I'm really tempted to go the anime and tending a druid's greenhouse combination.
Because
I just feel like when you get into the wild side of anime and what a druid might be doing in their greenhouse, fun things can happen.
Agreed.
I don't know. What are y'all thinking? What do y'all think?
The moment you said druid's greenhouse with anime, for the whatever reason, the first thing that came to mind was Poison Ivy. That's who owns the it's just got to be like a Poison Ivy level threat of just like all of it's alive because of me and all of it will kill you because of me. Is instantly who's in charge of the place, right? Or somebody like that.
Yes. That's good.
Well, David, Sam.
I also really like this combination, but I think that would be a great one because I think we were joking about rolling this last week, actually. But I kind of remember, I think it was in Ascension for the DM's treehouse where they had Grandma Nut. And I just feel like a crazy old lady running this place and you're going in there and she's like, bring me this from the garden. And you go in there and it's like this giant ent that's trying to kill you. And you're like, I just want the apple. He's like, yeah, you can have that. I just thought you were a bad guy. No, she told me to go get this. And just having these exhausting, like, roundabout ways. And then, of course, somehow, like, bringing in, like, just like the cutscenes of Dio or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely say anime and the Druid's Greenhouse sounds like the direction I'd be down for exploring. So I need to remember to use my green thing. And which is appropriate because it's druids and, you know, greenhouses.
Yeah. for me, the thing is that when you start to talk about getting an Apple, Sam, it reminded me of, I've been looking into a lot of myths and legends for a, I build a lot of D&D worlds that I don't get to play. It's so sad. But one of the things I looked up was that there was a lot of stories about breaking into, like, breaking into gardens and taking things. And in one of them, I think it was Perseus, who wasn't allowed to go into the garden and get, like, the apple. So he had to trick somebody to go in and get it for him because he needed it for something. And I figured that might be something kind of interesting of, like, what if they need to get something from there? I know we tend to want to do items or objects or something, but it's still, I mean, it doesn't always have to be run in, kill the bad guy. It could just be,
right,
trying to get something from them, you know?
Yeah. I think about, like, I think it's the donut witch from Adventure Time early on in that show. She's got, like, just a whole little, like, grove with a donut bush. I think that's it. Goodrich would know. He's up on that Adventure Time like no other. I don't even know if it's the donut witch, though. So, totally is the donut witch. He'd be proud of me then.
We had an episode with an interesting plant a little while ago with the Dory tree, which is a tree that grows Doritos.
That's gotta
be from this grove.
I mean, yeah. Please tell me you went into, like, deviating between, like, cool ranch trees and, like, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing.
The episode was these were, like, from a, like, chaotic god, and eating it would slowly turn you into a monster. And depending on the flavor, it was a different type of monster.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that it came out because one time I convinced my friend full-heartedly that Doritos came from a tree called the Dorit tree. And then I went in the extra step and, like, I made a Wikipedia for it. My other friend knew Photoshop. So we went all out for this one, like, 5-minute gag. And he was telling people, like, oh my, I had no idea. But I think it'd be great if like, it's definitely in there, and, like, the whoever is running this greenhouse is, like, getting people to, like, also eat one, and then they're like, I have new animals now. Yay!
Ooh.
Oh, like, if we wanted to make it a little different, we could have it be that the, because sequels are fun, but the hardest part of a sequel is just doing what you did before again, differently.
Right.
So, you would have to have it be that it's, like, maybe different trees do different things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could hit. This would just probably just be like one small bush or area of the garden.
Let me ask you guys this. What do we feel about superpowers?
I'm for
it
them.
It is anime.
Yeah. I'm for them.
So we could have maybe the trees do something to make them more and more anime-esque characters, to like level ups in certain ways, or maybe their speed starts to get ridiculous, but they have to have a certain activation, like getting really angry or watching somebody die or something, like, really bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would think, like, watering a plant would definitely be some kind of activation. It's like they go stand in a nearby creek or something and they get, like, super powered up. Yeah.
Just take some hours on end.
We can go with, like, Hero Academia. Each, like, fruit gives you a different quirk.
Ooh.
Or something. So this could be like a power up session for your players. Like, maybe you're like, oh, I don't want to give them the next level yet, but I want them to be a little more powerful because they're going to go attack some sort of monster or somewhere in your game. And this way, like, they can, if they earn the right trust. Also One Piece too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except minus the can't swim stuff, or put that in. But this way, it could be just more fun of, like, all right, now I have to, like, make friends with this druid. And if I don't, I could turn into a monster, or I can get a really cool superpower.
That'd be good. I think, kind of to start this off, it would be really good to have this be, like, a hook into a character. Like, if one of your characters has a parent who just never was around, because this is another big anime trope, so you get to find out that they were this druid, and you need to go and kind of find them there, and either they're missing or locked away deeper inside, and you need to save them while also taking care of their garden. And while here, you learn that you have some of the powers to control plants like they do. So you're slowly getting that character arc of discovering your parent, who of course doesn't love you, and powering up at the same time.
You could also use this as kind of a training sesh for the characters in general, where you have kind of, that's another big anime trope, is having the, like, oh, and here is their big training arc where they go through, and it's just all, and it's just like, all you have to do, it's very Mr. Miyagi, it's like, you gotta cut this grass, and it's like, but we don't have any scissors, and it's like, exactly, cut the grass, figure it out.
Yeah, it's some kind of unlocking their potential. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something. You could do a MacGuffin, but no, getting an item is a little bit too. I think it's a little too mundane for something like natural powers. Mm. It's like, no, you drink from the spring, and it could be similar to like how they did Black Panther's transference of power and everything.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I know that gets into comic book and not anime, but you know,
the two were close.
Yeah.
So the other big thing that we need to add in is big anime titties. Are we gonna have like plant care tenders that are here? Because there's a bunch of different like plant based races in all the different.
I was about to say, just make the plants them.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, they did it in Conker's Bad Fur Day, so you know.
You remember that game? That is just like a haunted dream for me. Mm-hmm.
The Myconoids would be great ones there. You need a tree senpai, of course, or something like that.
Are you proud, Rich and Cam? We finally use Myconoids. Are you proud of us?
So I think we've kind of settled on this is some sort of boosting our players up rather than bringing them down and fighting them.
Question, temporary boost or constant boost?
I think that could be up to who's playing.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I'd say if you go the route where it's like, okay, they, you know, eat some of the fruit here, depending on the tree, you could probably do maybe, I mean, digestion takes about a day. So, you know, one day temporary boon.
I like that. Yeah,
that is really good. So once they get to this area where they have all the fruits, there's like the Dory tree and whatever else we can come up with. Each fruit will give you different powers. So you would be able to get the monster qualities from the Dory tree, or you could get, maybe extra spell casting from the Arcane tree, things like that.
Magic.
I'm gonna go ahead and start getting done with it. So we're already doing chips. I'm gonna just keep rolling with that. So imagine a tuber, like a carrot or, you know, a parsnip or something grows out of the ground, but they look like toes and they're free of the earth, so they're free toes and they up your dexterity. Yeah.
Thank you, Kyle.
That's great.
Thank you.
Oh man. The puns, I just love them so much.
I'm glad you do. A lot of people in my life are tired of them, but that's why I like hanging out with new people. It's like, all right, cool, I get to make dumb jokes. Awesome.
Yeah, so I think as your players are going through here, you know, give it some variety, some flavor, if you will, of what kind of fruits they're seeing. You're going to have one player be like, all right, let me just eat something here. And then that's when you can either have like a random roll on the table type thing of, well, you just got, oh, you sprouted wings, you know, or it could be something bad. But depending on what you want to do, you can keep it, you know, permanent, or you can keep it, short term.
Mm-hmm.
But so why would they be going here? Let's try to figure out why they would do this.
There is the classic of a great evil being there. Oh, idea about the trees real quick, since it's anime and we were trying to figure out different things to make them respond. What if we based the different trees off of different animes, so you'd get different powers based off of what's in those animes? So there's like a Super Saiyan-esque tree, but it's like, do you really want to eat from that tree though?
Oh, yeah. Those are just carrots. Cat carrots.
Oh. They're just screaming all the time. And they have, like, the yellow stem is, like, fuming with energy.
What? Okay. Just sorry to go with that. So these specific trees, they, you know, pulling from D&D, the idea of an awakened shrub or something, all of these trees that do bear these fruits or these powers are awakened. And so it's the anime Ted Ford. Forest.
I love this.
This is the perfect one. I'm so glad we rolled this.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
Where'd my pencil go? I got to write these down.
So there's a brand of like corn tortillas that are Santitas. So this could be the Santitas chip that gives you a boost to charisma.
Yes, but it gives you like those animated boobs, though.
The only thing I could think of this whole time was Constitution, and then it just being from Lay's, because you just lay about, and it's like, yeah, you're great, you have a great Constitution, but you automatically don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah,
it's just you want just lie there. You have to take like a longer rest, and then it's like, but you have all these temp HP after it. But
yeah, I think you could kind of. You can have sections of the druid's land now that are like, you know, like you're saying, Malcolm, based off of different animes. So when they walk into them, it's now you have like the carrots, the Super Saiyan carrots. You have like the Lay's Frito-esque, part. You could have like the awakened shrubs and stuff. But like as they keep going deeper and deeper, maybe like her house is in the middle of it. So they have to go through all of them to get there. And by the time they come out, they're like, I'm sick of this. And then that's when, like, maybe she's based off of, like, Poison Ivy meets JoJo. And then she's like, welcome! Or, no, wait. She's Anti-May.
Anime. See, I was partial to just Ted Forrest. We could have even named him. I was okay with
that. Yeah, the druid that controls this, or tends to this forest. It's like their grove and everything. I like Auntie May. That was pretty funny.
Auntie May is pretty good.
So is there motivation to like keep people out? Like what? They want to preserve the power for themselves.
Definitely.
What do you think is preservation? I mean, for, you know, nature reasons, you want to preserve nature all the time.
Mm-hmm. If this druid is like your BBG, then this would be like their source of power. So that could be part of how your party finds out about it, is they need to come here and either take the power for themselves or kind of destroy the forest.
Mm.
I mean, if you do want to go with the whole more villain of the week aspect of it, as well, because I know sometimes that comes in handy. You just want to throw a fun encounter at your players. You could just have it be that they're like, oh, hey, we're having trouble from this, like, these plants keep propping up from this one druid, and they're crazy. And it's like, all right. And you get there, and they're like, you know what's crazy is how they're treating the environment. And you're like, oh, no. You gotta stop this person.
Yeah. It's Captain. It's like Don Cheadle's Captain Planet.
Yeah. I love that video.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so horrifying.
And of course, this druid is going to have, tending to this grove for so long, has an ample supply of all of these fruits, nuts, different, you know, things that you eat to get these powers. So, you know, of course, they're never going to reach their final form until they, you know, take all of them.
Oh, that's good. Oh, what's that even going to be? It's got to be higher than a level 20 druid somehow.
Well, see, here's the thing is, if your players, and I think this is, you know, for DM's ears only, if your players get them to a point where it's like they are facing down defeat, so they are going to, maybe they've already done like three or four, and it's been a challenge. They still have maybe eight in the chamber, and then they're just like, I'm about to be defeated. They pop the rest of the four, and by doing that, by your players driving them to a point of going for their last, you know, the last thing that they could, it's a bad idea for them to do that, and they just get oversurged with power, and they defeat themselves in their attempt for self-preservation.
I like that. They just grow into like a giant beanstalk or a tree.
Yeah.
It opens to a new adventure.
Yeah, which leads to a new land.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up something like Sword Art Online. You can go inside, and there's all these levels, and you got to climb the tower.
Oh, God.
Where a new sapling of that druid has grown and is controlling that world.
Oh.
And they just get annoyed. Stop following me.
Stop being alive.
So, this is dumb, but I think you could present the argument to your players if they want to either like utilize this stuff or destroy it so the bad guy doesn't have it anymore. Just always talk about them supporting the ultimate benefits or destroying the ultimate benefits. And when they actually decide they're going to support it, you can be like, oh, you're going to go sub over dub. Got it.
Oh, great.
this is beautiful.
Yeah. Good old 13 and 8 providing us properly. The dice knew.
I said anime in one of the episodes as like half a joke, and then I was also like, Andrew, write that down. That's actually pretty good. And then I didn't expect it to be actually on there. And then when we actually got it on there, I was like, oh, that's really a thing we can roll now. And I was like, I wonder what it's going to get matched with. And I never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that it would turn into some bizarre greenhouse.
Yeah.
Also, we got to have macho plants. We got to have like anime level plants just walking around ready to punch people at all points.
Yeah, I think we can definitely have like a tournament there, like a Dragon Ball Z style tournament would be fun. I was just about to bring up, what kind of encounter should we throw at our players to how would we want to move it along so they're not just in one section of the forest for like a whole time, unless you are going to go with the Dragon Ball Z theme where it's like they get to the fight and then all of a sudden the rest of the session is just yelling. They're just like, you're the DM and you just start yelling as this carrot. And they're like, why do you keep doing this? They're like, no, I'm powering up. Hold on one second.
Stop interrupting me.
It's going to take longer if you keep doing this. You could do, but that's what I was saying before with the idea of like different lands being like the different parts of it being connected to different animes or different genres of anime, I guess I should say, to make it a little clearer. So you could have different things like, oh, here's like your super powered, really awesome anime. Here's like your weird, like slice of life where everything just seems completely normal. And then here's like your horrific, dark horror anime. Like there are several different types. Basically, anime is just like movies. There's all different genres. So you could just get as weird as you want in there and then just have it be those different sections.
And you just walk into a section and plants are playing volleyball and whatnot.
I just picture like giant leaf just smacking the ball back and forth and the leaf just turns towards you.
I just really thought of like just how funny it'd be like to have like the harem trope. You're going in, they're going in and your players turn back and like only one of them is a male still. Everyone else is like in love with them. And they're like, what's going on? Why does everyone follow me? Like kind of like a Pikmin-esque thing. Like all the trees and stuff are following your, if you have a druid yourself in your party, maybe like all of like the plants just automatically start following that person, calling them senpai and stuff like that.
I love that.
That's kind of how trees reproduce, is by you eating their fruit and then kind of spreading the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So in a weird way, it's exactly what's happening, is all these plants are like, eat me senpai, and then you'll go and make more of them.
Oh gosh. Whoa there, buddy.
Oh damn.
Oh my god. Eat me senpai.
Okay.
Get a sticker of that.
Put that in the merch store, Andrew. Eat me senpai.
That's a good bumper sticker for a drive-thru, you know.
Oh god. That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. And well, see, okay, if you actually have that section, then that's the, like, maybe they haven't eaten anything until they get to that point. And then it's like, well, these plants are asking for it. So that's when you find out, like, oh, some of these plants give you superpowers. What if we passed up? Then they're going to want to double back. And, you know, that's when you can really get into it. And once it's been revealed what eating these plants or fruits can do, that's when the druid comes in. And it's like, ah, no, no, wait, hold on one second. That's not for you. That's mine. Stop it.
Yeah, I guess they don't also all need to be good for you. Like, I'm picturing something with, like, a big black, darker outer growth, and it has, like, white, very thin pieces of fruit inside. It almost looks like a black book, and you can, like, tear out a page, and if you put the page into someone's drink, it's a poison that'll give them a heart attack.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah. Like that.
Oh, I get it now. I got it. I picked it up. I picked up which one we were talking about. I love that.
I mean, you can summon a demon with it, and then the demon's the one that gives them a heart attack, you know? Same thing.
Or there's a field of black clovers, and that one's on the nose.
Oh, God. That'd be great. I think this would be where, like, you can start threading in, like, the druid who's obviously trying to get you to leave. So maybe they start sending out stronger beasts to fight you or such. You have the ents kind of guarding the way of, like, if you want to go with each section of the forest is in a different trope of anime, you can have, like, you know, maybe the volleyball players come up and now they're, like, throwing, like, they're playing volleyball with boulders.
Coconuts.
And so one shoots them up and then it spikes it down at your players. And now they have to fight, like, different, you know, bosses based off of these enemies you watch.
Does the druid make the plants do cannibalism and they eat themselves to get superpowers?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Or even the animals. Even the animals. What if you have superpowered animals that come, like, all of a sudden it's a bear and it's got bright glowing gold fur?
I was going to say it's a bear and it's split down the middle and it's half white, half black, and has one red eye. This is a very, very long reference to get to Danganronpa. Oh, yeah. I want Danganronpa in there.
Whole section. The Danganronpa section is a fogged out wooded section where it's like, okay, see if you can escape. Bet you can. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites, honestly.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I was thinking of, like, Beastar from, it was on Netflix. That could be a fun one with, like, the animals. If they're eating stuff, then you could just be like, why are you eating these? Oh, the druid told me to eat this, and now one, I can talk. And two, I can do this. And just do is like a One Punch Man thing. And he just obliterates not one of the party members, but like a tree next door or something like that. And it's like, oh, we're running away from you.
So if this creature is doing One Punch Man stuff, does that mean you're fighting, like, a hairless wolf?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say now.
I'm sorry.
No problem. That's great. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's,
I remember. Yeah. So growing around this entire garden, there's a bunch of weeds that come in, like, four colors. And the druid doesn't really count them as his plants, but they still give you powers. You can eat them and gain, like, control over an element. So it's like you gain airbending and waterbending.
That'd be cool.
Hey, honor my boy. Honor the avatar.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be interesting to have, like, all the things that aren't anime but anime adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I remember as a kid growing up with, like, Totally Spies, and I was like, is this anime? And people were like, no, that's not. And I was like, I don't, why is it not? It's stylized like, and they're like, it's not Japanese. And I was like, my bad. I was just asking. Samurai Jack? No.
It's not from the Champagne region of Tokyo, so it's... It's sparkling cartoons.
Yeah.
Sparkling cartoons. That's how I'm going to refer to them from now on. Sparking yeah. cartoons.
I genuinely love that. I yes.
Yeah.
So what's our boss like? What's the bad guy like? Bad girl, bad guy, whoever this is. Bad plant, monster, lady thing.
Yeah.
I kind of envisioned the going back to Avatar, the original Bloodbender.
Mm.
He's like, you're a bloodbender, Katara. just kind of at first, she helps him out. You're like, oh my god, this lady's so nice. She's so sweet. Like, what's going on? And then as the session picks up and goes on, you're just like, oh, she's a crazy bitch. Like, we gotta get out. Like, help. And then at that point, they're like, she's like, you're trying to steal all my stuff. Now you must die. Or she tries to convince him to, like, if she uses, like, the Dirit tree to turn him into animals to become, like, oh, you're someone useful. I can use you to ward off other people.
So, okay. Then I'm a little confused by the level design of this place. Is it that it gets darker as it goes on? Like,
it's a Dark Souls.
The things get weirder and crazier? Yeah. Like, does it get weirder as it goes forward? And for the most part, you enter, like, the very vanilla, very quote-unquote slice-of-life high school-esque garden first, and it's like, yeah, this is great. Don't go any further. Please, I'm asking you. I invited you into my home. Do not go past that point. If you go in there, no one will help you. Anyway, I have to go in there. And you're like, all right, we're trusting the crazy druid to... Why can't we go? And so it's like, that's what I'm wondering. What's it like? What's the level design? You guys are a little better at level design than I am, so...
I think you could even have them bring the ultimate crazy BPEG druid, crazy druid, back to their forest. Maybe they got separated somehow, or they were forced out, and the only way they can come back in is like some crazy, like, anime style of, you must be delivered here by four willing participants. And if you, and then like they finally get there, and then that's how it is. But I think Kyle's got it. Yeah, oh, I saw the
you said beautiful things, which made my brain turn, and I'm thinking, like, yeah, if you're bringing this person back, maybe it's like you've met this NPC along the way, or you could even work with one of your character or one of your players, be like, hey, can you make a character that like will turn into a BBEG, and they're a druid, and then this druid's like, yeah, I have these visions of this place I used to be at, and then you take the character back, and the further they get in, once they get to that, you know, unlocking your potential at the heart of this, you know, grove, then they turn into that.
That's really good.
Or an NPC with like amnesia, and then you bring them back. It's like, oopsies, we made them. You know, yeah. same concept, different approach.
And if you wanted to go, I'll do the flip side of that one a little bit, Kyle. If you wanted to go for a lighter ending, you could have it be that it's like the reason why the forest or garden is so chaotic is because the druid got separated from it and wasn't keeping it in charge of it anymore.
There you go.
And so once you get him back, it's like, I will restore balance. So then you have even your little Avatar reference there where it's like, yeah, we're bringing the person back to restore the balance amongst the lands in the garden, and that's why you're trying to tame it. And then, of course, you could have the mad druid part just be that they're still not fully themselves or whatever until they're back on their throne, or they have, like, certain medicine they get from a certain plant that's in their, like, house that's in the center of the garden. So it can be like, oh, wait, yeah. I remember now. I'm in charge of this place. Wah! And, like, everything's better. But, or you could just have it be that they're, you know, evil in the end and awakens their evil side. Love that, too.
Yeah. So what about poser druid that when you finally face them looks like you're, oh dang, bumping my mic. Poser druid, once you face them, looks like the NPC or your buddy, and it's just like they've kind of, you know, just disgraced this grove, and that's the way it is. And so then you can still, you know, put in your BBEG if you want to, and then you get that happy ending, Malcolm, that you're talking about, where it's like, no, restoration, everything's great. We're good here. Because I really like that aspect where you're really subverting an expectation of like, yeah, I think it's good doing that happy ending.
I just like to give people options. It doesn't mean it's the option I would pick. I genuinely like your concept more.
So another anime concept, and I really love the idea you guys have, just throwing this out there to talk about it, is we have not from my own dimension trope.
Yes.
So what if whoever this druid is someone from our world who is a weeb who got dropped into the world of D&D and gained druidic powers, and so the very first thing they do is make references to all the things they love in this giant forest, and it builds their power and they get stronger.
Is this how we get the Doritree, the Doritos, and the Fritos? And the yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
There's a plant that constantly flows liquid out of it, and it looks like a little mountain, and it's his Mountain Dew.
Yep.
Oh, beautiful. Constant energy, but at what cost?
Yeah.
What cost to your health? If you, for the players who don't want to take it to, like, I don't want my people to be from a different place, we have it literally set up to be a mad druid. And as a reminder, Deadpool is often viewed as crazy because he can see past the fourth wall. So everyone, a character who can see past the fourth wall, everyone else would just be like, that guy's crazy or that girl's crazy. And it's like, no, they're right. But you wouldn't know that. Nobody here would know that.
Yeah. You could totally put it in the role playing of the mad druid. They just turn to like no one and they're like, can you believe these people? It's like, who are they talking to? It's like, you have no clue. There's nobody there as far as you can tell.
Can you believe they just killed that goblin for no reason?
Bunch of murder hobos, I call them.
Yeah, look at these murder hobos. They don't even know what they're doing. I also thought if you want to start a campaign with this, you know, you can do the trope of, oh, you're playing and, you know, you get hit by a truck. And now your players have to, like, roll randomly on of all, like, the races that D&D provides or whatever system you want to play. You have a random class, a random race, and like your random stats and such. So now your players are just like, maybe do this with like more experienced players who are like, I don't know what to play. And you're like, all right, well, you're playing you. You got hit by a truck and some weird voice has granted you life in a new realm. And they roll on those tables that you create. And now it's like, I'm a kobold paladin. What am I?
Yeah.
What do I do?
You drive your Honda Odyssey through a purple light.
For the record, this whole hit by a truck trope that you guys talked about, because we've talked about this one before, but I've never seen that. Like, that's not, maybe I haven't watched enough anime. Is that, when do people...
I just think of the reincarnated as a slime where it's like, ah, oh, you just got knifed, you know, oopsies.
Yeah, you got knifed. There's a couple. I can't, of course, off the top of my head, I can't think of them, but there's one where it's like, yes, Noob just put it in.
I don't know how to say that.
Konosuba?
Konosuba. I am bad at these.
He's like, you know, the typical... I just play video games. I stay inside all day. And then all of a sudden they step
outside. You mean he's properly following quarantine protocol?
Hey,
yes. Yes. And they walk outside and then they, I think with this one, he goes to save a girl that's about to get hit by a truck or something. And he pushes her out of the way. But really the truck stopped already and he just fainted out of being scared of being hit. And then he gets reincarnated in like this world realm, and they're like, you can pick one magical item to take with you, and he picks the goddess to go with him, and she's like, what? it's funny.
That's a person, that's not an item, how dare.
You get hit so hard that you literally get pushed into another dimension. You don't die, it's just the force.
I'm still a fan of the Space Jam like summoning. We did it for Sea Jam, but let's do it again.
I just think you can get as wacky as you want with this. Like, with the right group who watches anime, like, you could just go all out with your references and pulling things up and out of just like, oh, you have an intense 10-minute stare down between your opponent before either one of you can go. Quick,
if you break concentration, you lose.
Yeah, or pick a pose. You have a pose battle instead of like an actual fighting if you have a bard.
And there is a really good mechanic if you're wanting to do this in D&D, and you can find it in the DMG, and I think they call it plot points, where you basically you give your players like one point to be able to really shift the plot the way they want it to. So if you are playing with a bunch of fans of anime and a bunch of weebs, and they're just like they have this one thing in mind, that gives them the opportunity as a player to influence this whole setting.
Love using plot points.
Yeah.
in a Bardic Inspiration, we use plot shots where same thing, except we had a shot inside. So we have a random timer that goes off, and then we all take a shot, and then I roll a die, and that person gets to add a plot point in.
I could get on board with that for sure.
I think as the climax to this whole thing, we get to reference another anime as the druid is kind of maybe being defeated. They can cast like some kind of enlarge plants. And we talked about all these plants already being awakened. So mm-hmm. when they get enlarged, now this entire forest basically stands up and gets to go on a wrath of destruction, kind of going out. And you have these giant trees, these giant titans that are going around, and your party needs to figure out how to stop them.
Yes.
it's the last will of the druid is just be like, you may have defeated me, but yeah,
beat
I
my
like
forest.
That.
And then they go on the quest for a wish spell. Just like that's what's gonna do this.
Yep.
You gotta get items to make the wish spell though.
Yeah, you need seven spheres to find this. Or you can have them if you have like you can make it like Howl's Moving Castle, and you could have like plants just howling in there and just wait to see if like your players can pick up on it.
Oh, that's good.
I feel weeb enough for this conversation. I do not feel weeb enough to run this, to be completely honest.
Oh, no. I don't think I could either.
Someone else has to do this justice. It would not be me.
I would have a lot of research I need to do.
I'd enjoy it, but I would mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, I get home and be like, babe, I'm doing research.
Yeah.
She comes in and then like, Sam, you're watching anime again. Yeah, I'm almost done with this arc. And then I can totally write this great masterpiece of a session for my players.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Got a cork board with all the plot points pinned out. Pepe Silvia.
You step back.
Who is this Pepe
and the whole corkboard is just in the Naruto symbol spinning out from the center.
Yeah.
It was all a dream.
Oh, dang. Well, a lot of different directions you could take this. I mean, you know, the world's your oyster on that one.
Yeah. And
you have a big concept like anime. You get to go everywhere.
Yeah. Like nothing is off the table.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's just so many endless opportunities for this one that I don't think this one needs to be wrapped up in a bow. I know sometimes we like to do that, but if you're having trouble right now, if you're using this episode to help fuel like one, just pick your favorite anime and try to finish that ending up. Go with that, I guess.
Digimon, of course.
Oh, that could be like a cool mini episode where you get broken down and go inside of a tree, and it's like this entire other like world inside the like microstructures of the plants of the forest. And it could be
just have the tree swallow you whole, David. Come on, we're already there with the just the tree just gobbles you up. You're in the in the tree world now.
I've heard this one before.
But yeah, also Digimon actually did become an anime now, and it's weird. Like, I don't know if you guys have kept up with it. I legitimately kept up with it because it was my childhood favorite anime, like-esque thing. And they did Digimon Adventure Tri, which is them actually being an anime. And it's really weird, but really great. It is so... Random ad placement. That's not like, it's just a recommendation, but it's really good. I highly recommend. The movies are all free online somewhere. That's like actually not illegal. So that's cool.
I think it's on Crunchyroll too. Oh, yeah, wait.
That art is significantly different. Wow.
Someone has to have Crunchyroll there somewhere in there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Funimation. Well, that's just the name of the druid.
Crunchyroll.
They call me Crunchyroll.
San. Crunchyroll San.
Yes.
Oh, does that mean we can do 4Kids references somewhere where it's just like all it's all nerfed anime, so it's like all the punch is taken out of it?
Who do you think watches really over the different sections of this grove? 4 different kids.
Yes.
Each of them attuned to a different, you know, element.
Oh, I love this. Yes,
there's a summoner perfect. Among them who has just like a little thing on his arm, and he slaps down his magic rune and it summons a monster.
Yeah. They don't get to walk out with any gold because pot of greed.
I love that video.
It's so good.
I play pot of greed. No, it doesn't work the way I play pot of greed again. I was going to say like Shadow Realm too. If you have like, if you do like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Based thing, like the subverse of it's the Shadow Realm, and you have to try to send this druid to the Shadow Realm or something like that.
Maybe that's what they say is like, oh, you can send me to the Shadow Realm, but I will be back. And you're like, how though? And it's like, oh, plot convenience. Like,
yeah, right.
I picked up plane.
I'm a good enough villain. I count.
It's like, your characters may not have to fight me, but your next ones will. Don't worry about it.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's that fourth wall stuff that they'll be able to do.
You'll never see me again. Well, you won't. Your players will. The people playing you will. You won't. You'll be gone. Next campaign. We'll come back next campaign.
Oh, dang. Yeah, this would be a hard one to put a bow on and really, because there's just, we laid out like maybe like 7 or 8 different approaches and just as many follow throughs.
We like options.
Yeah. Options are good.
As you can tell, listeners, none of us listen to anime or watch anime at all.
Nope. Doesn't happen.
I only watch prestige television. Did you guys ever watch that? The anime crimes division thing? That was great.
No. I only watch sparkling cartoons. Sparkling cartoons.
Well, there was this show called Anime Crime Division, and it was like, it's shot like a cop show, but it's all about like crimes that people are committing in the idea of anime. So they're like doing different things. Like at one point, there's a war between the subbers and the dubbers is the first episode. And they're like, it's acted like a street gang war. And they're like, we have to figure out who's feeding both sides, who's up to no good. And then spoilers for the end of the first episode, but they catch the guy and he goes like, I've been trying to put the subbers against the dubbers and the dubbers against the subbers. It's not about either of those things. It's about the original manga.
Just like, this is great. That's big brain.
It's so good. The show's so good.
I don't know why, Malcolm, while you were talking about that, I just thought, like, what if they did like a anime version of Unsolved Mysteries? What would that be like?
Oh, that'd be cool. Actually, I'm pretty sure that would just be Sherlock.
Oh, fair.
Whatever Sherlock anime that was. I forgot what the actual name is, but.
Fair.
He would definitely have like a ghost companion. Who walks around with him.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it's just, like, the stupidest investigator ever, but there's a brilliant ghost that follows him around. Like, hey, there's a clue over here. No, not the shoe.
Yeah. Wait, are we going a second round? We're doing round two now?
No, I think we are ready for the recap and synopsis.
Oh,
Who's on recap again?
So,
it will depend on
what Kyle would like to do.
Yeah, what Kyle would like to do.
Oh, I mean, you know, best I can think is, I mean, my out of all the options, the one that I'm going to recap is the idea of an NPC or a player with some kind of lost memory. Because, you know, like, you know, kind of the cloud situation. It's like, what's my life been? I can't remember. Let me explore the world and figure it out. And then you finally get to this point. And I mean, if you're doing long form campaign where you're doing all homebrew, then there's a lot of options to help lead up to this moment that give the hints. So you've got a lot of groundwork you got to lay for this one. But when you finally figure out where you need to go in this player or NPC that's been traveling with you, you get them to that point where, you know, this garden that has been overgrown and it has just been, it's been untended. And so it's gotten a little wild. And some of the sections that aren't supposed to be, you know, aren't supposed to be cross-pollinating, I guess would be the appropriate term. It's created wild and different abilities, and you get these little boons from imbibing these plants and fruits and vegetables. And so eventually you got to get to the center, which will unlock the druid's memory and bring them back to what they knew. And they're able to pretty much bring peace to the Grove, you know, giving you a chance to do to maybe help a neighboring town that's just Mantreans be getting wild and they are just constantly berating us because they want to the garden wants to grow outwards. And I'm adding new stuff actually right now, so I'm not really recapping anything.
That's anime for you. You think that it's going to be, you think it's going to be like a retelling, and it's like, nope, there's new stuff now, and it's like, but that changes exactly. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm doing one of those recap episodes. That's 95% what you know, and 5%. When did that happen?
Oh my gosh, guys, this is filling in the gaps, filling in the arc.
Yeah,
we're the filler.
Filling in the
arc's
not bad. Yeah,
filling in the arc, filling in the campaign right now. So that means Malcolm, you're on synopsis.
Nope.
Ooh.
Right. Hmm. Nope. David is. I looked up one.
Okay. Thank you. Because that I was like, I'm not the anime expert. Don't make it be me.
Okay. Let's see. Your party continues to wander through this forest filled with all kinds of different brilliant, bright fruit. You're unable to determine what any of the fruit actually is, so you haven't consumed any yet. And you hear the rustling of branches behind you. You turn to look, and there's nothing. Nothing but the forest. Continuing deeper, the rustling gets louder. You look around, and was that tree moving? I don't know. You keep moving forward. And you enter a big grove filled with small little toe-shaped carrots in the ground. And the trees behind you continue moving as you walk into the grove. And you hear voices whispering from the fruits.
Ooh, eat me, senpai!
That's not the voice I expected at all.
And your party is confronted by all this edible vegetation that is trying to swarm them in order to be consumed. What do you do?
I can't.
Can you do that ooh noise again?
No.
So the plants are fighting each other just to get in your mouth.
Yes.
Oh my god. Well, this has been a anime-packed, fun-filled, filling in the gap three-rolled. Once again, our guest for today is Kyle. So, Kyle, if you'd be so kind as to tell our lovely listeners where to find you again.
Ah, yes. No, thank you for having me. It is a pleasure to get to do things like this and work with other DMs, because just rolling that ball around, it's so funny to see where these things will go. So, you know, if you're listening out there and you have a group of friends that you're trying to get together, get out there, throw that spaghetti at the wall and, you know, come back to filling in the gaps, because this, again, my second time being on this, and things just get so awesomely wild. But if you want to hear more of what I do, again, head over to @BombardedCast on most social media, or search Bombarded on any of your podcatchers, and go head over to Twitch and look up Cartridge in a Pear Tree, where me and Adam LeGrave from DM's Treehouse stream some Vidya games from time to time.
And all right, come back for this episode. Come back to us. Follow us on the Discord. Jump on in there. We got Twitter as well, which is at FITDND. FITGDND. My bad. I was your transition captain for today's episode, Sam, or DM Mambo. You can find me on Twitter at DM Mambo5 or bip.dnd for my podcast, Bardic Inspiration Podcast.
Nice.
I'm David. I was the theme host today. You can find me on Twitter at DAEDRA18, Daedra18. Yeah.
And I've been Malcolm. I've just been your scenario sailor. Moon? Probably not. No, let's not go there. follow me at the Ruler of Rhyme. There's no numbers or anything. I snatched that one up first, so woo! yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Five star review on iTunes, that thing. Do that for our show and Bombarded, both of them. You got the time. You're already there.
I step on the cracks. It's too much today. It's too much today.
Toos Audio.